So now I would like to do my own thing of it.
And now, here's Carol. Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Hey, a lovely day here in Hawaii, and glad you could join in, and wish all of you a happy, happy African-American History Month. Or as Donald Trump will say, well, you just wait for a couple of minutes. I have an executive order. So enjoy this one, folks. Next year it might be over. So anyway, the king has spoken. But there's a number of things. We talked about animal history and protection and care and the killing and the maiming, mostly led by this new lady, director, or chairperson of DLNR and NOAA, and killing the cats, and, you know, just the whole thing is kind of crazy. So as we had promised, in the coming weeks we would be talking about it, and I'm fortunate to have Dr. Jill Volks, doctor of veterinary medicine, here with me in the studio, and we're going to be talking about a number of things, and just this whole notion about killing of animals and alien species, and if you'd like to, if you have an issue with me about this issue or this subject matter, feel free to call me, and I'd give you some history of that. I've actually put my life on the line in combating, quote, alien species and the rise in the sale of them here in the state of Hawaii. So if you want to engage that way, I'd be happy to. But we're not defending anything. It's just that treating animals with humane treatment is an easy thing. And so you get a Suzanne case, and you get a Noah who lies about the toxoplasmosis, manufactures it, as we've talked on the show many a times. And they're driven by grants. There's, for example, they want $15 million. Suzanne Case and her cohorts want to build a fence for $15 million, get the legislators to allocate that money, and more. And but they don't have any plans. They don't know what land they're going to put it around. So the whole thing, I've come to learn that it's an opportunity for special interest people to seize the opportunity to get money. They don't have a bigger picture in connecting the dots. They don't talk to the people that feed cats and neuter cats and spay cats and return them. They don't have conversation with them. They demonize them. They disrespect them. And also, they come in 4 years and they get appointed by a governor and what have you, and there we are. So we're going to go deep into the subject as best we can. If you have any questions or any objections or any input, we're going to be talking about, as they describe, advantages of trap, neuter, and release, managed for control of homeless cats, neutering cats, you know, how it affects toxoplasmosis, less poisonous, you know, there's a lot of poisons used and disbursement of poisons and what have you. And that is basically what will be going on. And as I say, we've seen, and there's they're so insensitive toward the people that they're motivated. They won't approach and deal with, as they're mandated to deal with, the fishing hooks, the monk seal biting and ingesting hooks and dying or getting sick or maimed. They don't fight that, and they're mandated to come up with a plan to address that impact. For 10 or more years, they failed to do that, going in circles. But, boy, they quickly came up with toxoplasmosis, but they will never say to the city and county of Honolulu, stop dumping your crap in the water through the sewage treatment plant, and all of that goes out there, too. So I hope we have a healthy conversation here, and we'll talk about some of the bills that's floating. Again, Suzanne Case, I don't know what she has against cats, but I look at her picture, and I remember that TV character, Alf. I thought he ate cats, so I'm just wondering, what does she have against cats? But not a nice thing to say, I know, but that's what you do on Sunday mornings when people trying to get their hands in your pocket and call it environmental protection. So, Jill, thank you for joining me, and tell us a little bit about yourself, and then let's see what we can impart on the people listening out there.
Okay, thank you, Carol, for inviting me. globally and act locally. And it's always a take-home message, and I'm very grateful that you're always giving us this information that is helping us to see, you know, what's going on out there. And for myself, I know as humans, we are worried about the planet and the climate change. And our responsibility as humans, and being the most invasive species, is to take responsibility for our Mother Earth and act locally with our daily decisions. Let your footprint of the carbon footprint, if you're knowledgeable about that, help you make these decisions when you buy things that are organic, buy things that haven't taken a lot of resources from the planet. What we do with our life, big decisions and small decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just a little bit, you know, of the way that I think. I'm a mobile veterinarian, and I started a mobile business in 1994. And the Catbird Vetmobile started as a bus, and I lived my dream by equipping it with a solar-powered mobile clinic that, even before it was economical, to have solar panels. You know, I'm extremely concerned about the environment and a conservationist myself. And I'm extremely disappointed in these big, bloated conservation groups, and very, very sorry that I ever donated money to them because of this attack they're doing on the Hawaiian trap neuter release management programs. Trap neuter release management has all kinds of benefits, and all the issues that they're bringing up relates to the non-neutered cats and not the trap neuter release cats.
Now, when we talk about neuter and what have you, your assessment of what the state, for example, the Department of Land and Natural Resources, and in your honest opinion, do you believe that they are really care? I mean, do they, as you as a veterinarian, do they reach out to you and ask you for your input, or have they in the past or recent time regarding this new movement?
No, not at all.
So what do you think is motivating them, other than, and I don't want to make it sound as if cats don't have an impact and other introduced species don't have an impact. That is the way nature is, you know, eat or be eaten in some instances. Mongoose, and so I look at all the science that we're supposedly relying on. They brought mongoose in for a scientific result of a study that showed that mongoose eat rats.
the mongoose are awake in the day, as we know, and rats are awake at night. So it blew up in their face.
So then I always go gravitate back to that to say that, well, how much of this is science and how much of this is dollars and cents? Because it does not make sense. And the egrets, the cattle egrets, were brought here. And guess what? They have increased in numbers 1,000-fold or 2,000-fold, and they are competitors with the native species, and they eat young birds, and so or adult birds too, depending on the size of them. So, should we trust this so-called new movement, this great concern for quote alien species such as cats? Has the health department, has the Department of Land and Natural Resources come to you and say, well, you know, look, can you help us engage in a educational program, or we will fund a program to help you identify cats by chipping them? We'll grant you money or give you grant or aid to assist you in restricting or controlling the population by neutering animals. Have they neutered spay? Have they ever done that to you?
Not that I know of. I actually brought it up at the veterinary conference meeting with all the, you know, the veterinarians that get together and have the Hawaii Veterinary Medical Association. And no one Well, the veterinarian at the Humane Society was aware of the meeting where, you know, there is a movement, I guess they had told the Humane Society that they were going to go against the cats. And
you mean the Department of Land and Natural Resources?
And right. And, as far as what they got together with the Humane Society, and they had some sort of secret meeting, and mm-hmm. And that was, everyone else didn't know. None of the other veterinarians had any idea, had brought anything up about, and there was a room full of veterinarians there, and they were all concerned, you know, about it, but had not, you know, any other information except that this is, and had suggested that we put information about toxoplasmosis on the website. Which points out to the fact that cats fight off toxoplasmosis after they're infected with it once, and they will never again normally shed the disease or spread the disease, which makes the fixed cats a buffer, which makes them protecting of that particular environment that they're at. And so, you know, the cats that that have been fixed, that have a feeding station, the people that are looking out at that feeding station look out for the unfixed cats. They fix them. They're very responsible people. And this actually protects the environment and helps rather than, you know, what they're misleading people to think that the cats are spreading the disease, which, you know, toxoplasmosis is actually ubiquitous in the environment. It's everywhere. And no matter, it's not related to the amount of cats in the environment because there is a stage of toxoplasmosis that's in the soil that's been there for decades. It'll stay there until mm-hmm. it gets eaten. It wants to get eaten and it'll make a microscopic cyst and there's a lot of misinformation or hocus pocus about it turning people into zombies because it's extremely misunderstood disease. But the fact is that toxoplasmosis is rarely harmful. It doesn't want to cause any harm. It wants to be continuing its cycle without harming its host, and a fourth of Americans have had it, have fought it off. It's there, it's in the environment, and it's something that unless you have AIDS or
weakened immune deficiency,
extremely, you know, mm-hmm. Immune deficiency, it causes harm.
So let me ask you. The way I see it and the way it's presented itself on many occasions here, you know, this war on cats and war on alien species seems to be that it has taken a play from the playbook of war on drugs or war on poverty, and we see how successful they are. Could this be just yet another ruse? Because the approach that they are looking at is site-specific. You know, there's bills now floating in the legislature that is wanting to ban feeding of cats in the harbor. So, but there is no ban to say that ask the legislators to get money to reduce the cost of spay neuter and chipping of animals. We don't see that kind of action. It's give us the right. And then there's even a more horrendous bill, a frightening bill, that is being presented, 906, I think it's, or 606. Let's see here. We'll 606 in House Bill 904, and that bill is very aggressive, as it's described by many in the community, is that it's a bill that the importance of killing and the quote eradicating the cats is so important that they are going to be able to go on your property without just cause or anything and their agents can just go on and enter your property and confiscate or kill or shoot or trap or poison their cats. I don't know the full details, but the fact that it's being floated such as a bill, even remotely, saying that you can get on someone's property for these reasons without permission.
It's really, really scary that they, you know, all the things that they're saying is just unfounded and out of this world, ridiculously, you know, horrible, horrifying.
Mm-hmm. So we look at the Department of Land and Natural Resources. They are very aggressive in getting money, but you can't approach them. You can't do much of anything. They focus on Kaina Point, for example, just in that case. So they want to kill all of the cats, and I believe the cats should not be out there in that sanctuary where the birds, ground nesting birds and all, they do kill birds. But the way they're going after at it, and that is they want money for that specific site. But then they'll tell you, if you call up, for example, the Poyo owl that was covered in the newspaper where they say it took them a couple of hours just to respond, they're lucky to even have gotten a response from DLNR. But in this grand fever that we see here, and a big fever that is being exhibited, they want money. They're not going to have any real impact on the population because they won't speak to, and you can share with me, the importance of neutering animals or spaying them if they're going to be running outside, if you have a house pet, just a house pet. Or how about restricting the military? Or how about making a stiffer penalty and making it an important act of a duty of the DLNR conservation officers or its employees when they wish to witness the dumping, the illegal dumping or release of cats into the wild? What have they spoken to about that? You know of anything?
No, I don't know of anything.
So,
but I do know that that putting poison out is killing the owls, the rat poison. I've had a number of owls that, you know, have had rat poison, and so that's another important role of the cats. Is most of the cat colonies, in fact, all the cat colonies I know of that are fed and have the well-managed colonies are not anywhere near native bird habitats. But they do, at night, keep the rodents from overpopulating, going to where they can rob bird nests, you know, spreading out. The rats are more likely to spread out. And then they put out rat poison, and that kills the native species. Any way more than a cat who is fed at a feeding station, sleeps in the day, comes out at night, and you know, lives the rest of its life, never again spreads toxoplasmosis, might prevent some rats from overpopulating. They're innocent, and I'd like to see more well-managed colonies. I'd like to see feeding stations where people don't throw food all over the place feeling sorry for the unfixed cats because they know that there's going to be a responsible community of people who are going to fix these animals and end this cycle, break this cycle, and do what's right, what's responsible, and what's humane.
So, the going back, talking about rats, and I'm not against protecting the environment, but I hate to stand by and witness a big lie that's being fabricated, and I notice this, and we'll speak to this, a number of things, strategies, and I shouldn't call them strategies, I just think they're poorly planned efforts, and that is, NOAA's efforts is contracting. Most of the people that are behind the talking about the toxoplasmosis, they're contract people. So they have an incentive to get the money up front, and then they want to continue to have money coming in, so talk this subject up. Have no relationship with the public. I attempted to reach out to them and look and ask questions about some of their activities, and they wouldn't talk to me. So it's really, I don't believe that it's a bona fide effort, and I question their motive, and I question their intention. But speaking of rats, now we say that we take the cats out of the wild, or out of the from outside, and then the rats. But or what is this government going to do about the rats? Because the state health department, its vector control people are down to one person or something to that. It's a skeleton crew. So if you take the cats out, again, it speaks to this simple fact that they're really not concerned with protecting the environment. Rats can be as devastating on a population of birds or anything than any cat can be. They eat eggs, and they will even attack a bird as large as an albatross and climb up his back and bite him in the back of the head. That's how aggressive cats or rats are. So something's wrong here, and I'm not taking issue with if they were to take one act and complement the other, fine. But I just suspect that historically it's not to their benefit to resolve the problem. It's the benefit is to criticize the cat people, let the public know through these TV stories that come up, oh, there's look at all of these cats. Well, imagine this. I remember at the old super block at Walmart down at Keomoku, there used to be grass and weeds there and whatever, and open area. You'd see occasional cats, and there were a number of cats there. Well, that area, they were saying, well, we got to get rid of the cats to take care of the birds, protect the birds. Okay, let me get this right. So you want to kill the cats, and you aggressively try to kill them. Then you remove most of them, and then you build a damn building for the whole super block. So where does the birds end up benefiting? I mean,
it's hypocritical.
Yeah, I would say so. And we, you go to the harbor at K.E. Lagoon. Go down there. The place isn't, you know, you see the cats are there. People come and dump them. Here's the problem. It's not even fit for human beings, just not because of the cats, but it's not fit for human beings because of the humans dropping their own crap there and their papers and their trash and defecating and urinating on the sidewalks and the rocks and all of that. And you don't see any aggressive effort. I've done a story where the sidewalks exposed with rebar sticking out that will stab you and impale you.
I saw that.
And so that's why they lose me. Something isn't shaking right. So anyway, there's a caller. Let's see. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Hi, Gerald. I was curious about what you had mentioned about the cats and the sort of increase in the cat population. I know you're talking about a variety of other things, not just cats, but that's always been a little interesting to me, is this, I don't want to say cat problem, but this sort of exponential increase in cats. I think one media outlet, like a few years ago, had looked at it, but I haven't seen too much in the news about it. I don't know if you've actually done something or looked into it yourself, but it's always made me a little bit curious why there's so many cats in the city, or at least what I've seen are quite a good amount of cats.
Well, there might be so many, as you describe it, but again, I'm speaking to, I don't know if you were listening to the show or just called in, but there are a number of issues that are here that plagues this whole effort or taints the honest approach to managing cat population. They demonize the people that participate. They don't donate any money to their efforts. The people are spending their own money. They didn't put the cats there. There are, I know firsthand that cats are, you can go out to a park, certain parks in the area, and you'll see 10 cats. Come back in a week and you'll see 10 cats and a kitten. And then you'll see another, oh, they from the same litter. You might find three or four kittens. Mm-hmm. And so those are cats that they move anyway back and forth, but people dump them. And people will, let's say if there's a divorce, the family leaves, go back to the mainland or move to the other island or whatever. And what happened to those cats? You think anybody is going, just everybody's going to say, well, Fido, Fluffy, you know, Paw Paw, whatever your name is, Jake, it was nice living with you, and you were part of the family, and you did tricks for us and all of that, and you sat in Mama's lap and, you know, comforted us. But we're moving, and you're going to have to go to the Humane Society. And someone in the family said, well, no, Ma, Dad, what happens is they cook them down there. They euthanize them.
That's what I've heard.
So...
That's what I've heard.
So now, not just to speak to a portion, what percentage of that, and these are all real-life situations. And so why I'm against their approach is that I know for a fact they'll lie and steal and cheat, and they'll do anything to manipulate to get a grant. I'm just going to tell you, because if the nonprofits were honest, they go get their own damn money and spend it in doing their own efforts and go ahead and take issue. They're already taking issue with it. Take an action, but they won't do that.
Right.
They get next to the government and get in the government coffers, and they bleed it off. And then you got biologists that are civil servants that can't do any work because they are being overwhelmed and displaced by the contracts.
Well, the thing that I say about nonprofits is that their profit is none of anyone's business.
Yeah, exactly.
You ever notice that?
It's the most frustrating.
The whole idea of non-for-profit just has never made any sense to me. I know that's an aside, but every entity is a profit entity, including non-profits. There's no such thing as a not-for-profit or non-profit entity.
Well, there are some that actually spend their last dollars and to go out and do the actual work,
but they're all about profit. They still to do that. They still have to make profit. That's my point.
Not all of them. I can assure you that. But again, I'm not taking issue with that. And to a large percentage, you're definitely accurate. But again, these are issues that why should we kill wholesale slaughter, and then it's just become a cycle because they're not going and taking education. I haven't seen one bill to say we're going to allocate certain dollars, and we're going to build a task force of veterinarians like Dr. Jill here who could participate in that in her district where she lives if she's willing to spay, neuter, and at a very low discount. But even that is difficult. The Humane Society has a contract. We're talking about millions of dollars in animal control.
Right. It would be nice if there was, because I know that, you know, near where I live, there are people from my building that go out and feed all these, I guess, homeless cats or stray cats. They actually go out all the time and feed these people. They buy their own cat food, and they go in and feed these cats.
Hold that thought. Yeah. It's striking to you, but though... Can you say that there you witnessed them taking place the cats there, or they then see the cats there and they then start to feed?
Well, I think it's like an organized thing.
I mean just the basic mechanics of it. You know, it might organize, unorganized, dysfunctional.
Well, I think it's just, it seems like at least a couple of women that live in my building.
I got that. You stated that. I'm trying to extract from you.
Whether it's organized, I'm not quite sure. Individual.
Let's get past that, the human element. Uh-huh. The fact is, are the cats, do they go down and place the cats there, or they see the cats deer, and then they start to feed them?
Probably the latter.
Okay, so if that's the case, where is the government at in preventing the population from growing?
That's partly my point. It just seems like nothing's really being done about it. I'm not saying that has to be the focus of the state of Hawaii, but I mean, if there are people who are taking it upon themselves to feed cats,
mm-hmm.
it says to me something's not really being done about this population.
Well, let me put it to you in a basic description. The cats were not native to Hawaii, for example. They got here by human effort, and then the human beings failed to control the population, failed to control, and now this is what we have. So we say, well, okay, to address it, we're going to have wholesale slaughter, but it'll never be wholesale because they're only going to work as much as they're going to get. They're going to get tax dollars. They're going to spend it, but they're going to want to make some money, too. Because they got to drive their nice cars and go surf
right.
and drink beer and have all that bull going on. But nothing is ever spent to address the real problem. And that's, I guess, with anything. Contracts
right.
and hired out, right?
I mean, that sounds like Hawaii business as usual.
And then the vector control. We've gutted the number of vector people, inspectors. So, again, why am I so adamant about and arguing against it? Because it's not going to fix a damn thing. It's just going to continue. It's what it's going to do is ensure the people that's preaching control alien species to get more money and more tax dollars,
right.
and then we'll see more cats.
Yeah.
And because what are they going to do? They tried to make it illegal to feed them. Well, okay, if you make it illegal to feed them, what happens? They're still going to breed, and they're going to be more aggressive.
Right.
So what is the solution? I think the solution is good government, not good gas chambers, not good euthanasia, not good trapping neuter, because, first of all, these dudes, man, if it's a government worker, they're working by the hour, so to speak, and they got union contracts, and they got conditions that they can only work past certain times. They get per diem or per, you know, all of that, right?
Right.
And so a lot of this work would have to be at night. I haven't seen a single bill allocating any money to address any of this, but it's attack on the cats. Send money. So anyway.
It just occurred to me that, you know, there are the low-cost trap-neuter clinics, and they're very low cost, and they've done a lot of good. And if these women in your building have fixed the cats, or if they're knowledgeable enough where they can, you know, go out and feed, and they know those cats have to be fixed, that's critical, because that is the answer. That is how that it's supposed to be done. And when they have a management go in and say, hey, you know, stop feeding the cats, and people do it behind their back because they feel sorry, these are living things,
mm-hmm.
and they can't openly be fixing the cats like they're supposed to. And those low-cost clinics have done amazing jobs for places where
right.
they have well-managed colonies. They have people that take turns, they have their nights, they go, they know which cats are not fixed. And when there's a clinic, which, you know, is very reasonable, and they have gotten money from the government. I'm not sure where the grants come from, but we are, you know, getting these animals fixed. But it's just that they're butting heads now. Now they want to do these awful things. And I've seen places where, you know, there's the well-managed colonies, and the population decreases, and then the management comes in and says, hey, we don't like this. You know, we're going to stop allowing it. And it's nuts. I mean, all of a sudden, there's kittens born in people's engine compartments, and they're not fixing them anymore, but they're not doing anything about it either. And and it really, really makes sense to have the trap neuter release management, and management is a critical part of
it. Well, I was thinking it would be nice if there was an alternative to, you know, this Humane Society, some place, clinic perhaps, something just for the lost or abandoned cat population, so they could be taken care of.
There are actually farms and places,
right.
And they are quite crowded. And
I'm
that's,
sure they are.
That's why, you know, when you have these people with their stations and their well-managed areas, they should not be slapped in the face by the government. That's just wrong. And everything they're saying, you know, things that the issues are not the neutered cats. They're the unneutered cats, and they make it sound like, and they twist the facts, and they lead people to believe that, you know, that they're going to do something about all your cat problem by killing these cats that are the innocent ones, and by damaging a program that is so beneficial. It's not the answer to every single cat. It is a viable part of the solution, and that's a trap, neuter, release management.
Mm-hmm.
And if you would tell those women and just, you know, just have a good, you know, information for them, you know, about fixing those cats, and that there's people willing to help. There's cat friends. There's the trap, neuter, release clinic. If you go and you want to know when it's happening, you know, on I guess the most popular site that I know of that's always got the newest stuff is Hawaii Happy Cats. And then there's Alley Cats has about that bill that you want to stop, because you don't want people going on people's property and harming them in that way. I mean, that is sad and sick. And that's Alley Cats. You know, you can go and they'll give you what you can write to your.
Well, I think that's a good point. I'm sure there are people listening. There may be people listening out here who actually do what some of the women in my building do and feed cats wherever they are. I'm sure it's not just the women that I've seen, but other people probably do it too. So I think that's a pretty good piece of information there.
Thank you.
Well, let's look at it this way. The cats are there. How simple do you think, or how difficult do you think that it is to just trap one cat and go through the process of neutering? You have any idea?
Do I?
Mm-hmm. I mean, a wild cat now. I mean, just as you,
well,
have you, are you familiar
I
with?
Don't, because I don't. You know, I don't have a lot of experience with cats.
Okay,
so
let me give you the center of the road, one in the middle, just to show you the kind of resources needed to dedicate. And there are people out there doing this. At least they're doing something. They're not sitting on their asses, strategizing to hire their cousins who go to school in Boston to come out here and work as an intern so they can surf and all and work with the organization killing cats or alien species. That's a reality. That's what goes on here. But how much time does it take? So the person in your building sees the cats. They go, well, Fluffy, you don't have a chip. Well, how do you know that you don't have a chip? Well, you got to catch him, right? Well, you either got to invest in the money out of your own pocket to buy a chip reader, a scanner. Or you can go down and rent a trap, which takes time out of your schedule to get in traffic. So if you live in Ever Beach, you got to go all the way down to the Humane Society and leave $50 or $100. I don't know what it is now. And your ID number and all of that, and to borrow a trap for a day to go back and see if Fluffy is going to cooperate with you and go in that trap. Then you got to get Fluffy back in the trap, take Fluffy down there, but it can't be before 10 o'clock at night. So then you leave Fluffy if you're lucky to get in. So you've now spent 2 days, 3 days out of your time for one cat. And then you go back to pick Fluffy up, and he's been chipped and the ears clipped and is returned. So almost 4 days for one cat. Now, how in the hell can the government blame these people when what are they doing? They're sitting on their fat butts making money and salaries and all of that, and they don't do anything. But when the opportunity comes for a news story, oh, they demonize the very person that have spent 4 days in going down and trapping one stupid, you know, person's cat that released their cat out in the wild. You see, you follow?
Yeah.
It's the human elements that come into play that are never spoken to, and cat's going to be out there forever. You know why? Because we got a bogus game going on here. It's good money, my friend. This thing about alien species, it's better than drugs if you get your good grant. You don't go to jail for it. You get to spend a couple million. You get to hire your nieces and nephews and fly off to go to trips and meetings and what have you. Isn't that a good deal?
Well, I guess it would be for those involved with it, yeah.
Yeah. So that's the reality. And or you could be a different kind of person and go out and invest $300 or how much are traps now? I have a heart traps.
About $100.
$100. You can, but then you got
to
buy them
at the feed store.
So you got to go out and buy them, and then you got to house them, and then go and trap them and have a continuous effort. So imagine the amount of time. Now the free clinic, it even takes at least 2 days to trap, neuter, and release. Am I correct? Because you got to go out and trap it, take it down to the clinic, the free clinic or the reduced cost clinic, and then go back and pick it up after they've neutered it. And then you can't, you really can't just release it because it's still groggy. Maybe they've neutered it at 1 o'clock. You go down and pick it up at 3 o'clock. You wouldn't want to put it, release it to the wild, right? Because it's not healthy. I don't know. You're the doctor. Your doctor's in the house.
Well, so. when you're fixing a colony, usually you do mass trap, neuter, release. And mm-hmm. most people have that are doing this have 5-6 cats.
Yeah.
Traps. And
but they invested
and
on their own.
Right.
The government didn't buy them.
No.
And they have no obligation to buy the traps. They're just being good citizens.
Right, and okay. Then if you have a lot and you go to, say, cat friends and say, hey, you know, I have a need for some traps, I want to go to your next clinic, you put a deposit down, then they'll give you traps, and then you go and you trap that night, you bring them in the daytime, you get them fixed, and then you go and... you pick them up that afternoon, and you bring them back. And you do have to keep them overnight, make sure they're awake, and then you release them the next day.
But again, the key thing is you got to have these resources, the money.
Yeah, you have to pay for the gas to drive down there.
You got to have a car. Yeah, 4 to 3. And then,
at minimum, yeah.
And then they all that when you read the news articles and the TV stories, it's those weirdos out there feeding cats. It's like, wow.
There's police officers. There's people that are, you know, airline stewardesses. They're smart. They're responsible people, and they're doing what's right.
They're surgeons, and I've known lawyers and work for the government because they realize we have a real problem. If you don't do something, it's trap, neuter them, it's more population. While the government, is the workers in the Suzanne Case and her choir is give us more money. So anyway.
What they're suggesting is going to select for untrappable cats, and they're going to just make crazy, crazy, you know, horrible situation that, you know, it's really sad. It's not... thinking about, you know, the future.
And these cats in the wild, they're not long lived, are they? Do they live as long as a house cat?
Well, there's some colony cats and well managed colonies that are 9 or so years old.
I mean, the ones
that's not common. I mean, they right. don't usually live as long as you know, somebody's
one that's cared by sit down and watch TV all day and.
I know some older cats.
Yeah, but I mean, in totality, and looking at the
big, 9 years ago.
The bigger picture as to what are they saying? It's so bad. It's so bad. Well, then why don't they change their ways? And then why not incorporate the trap neuter release people into their efforts and see if they would come up with a better solution?
Well, it makes so much sense.
Well,
pretty interesting conversation.
Well, we'll be taking up a little more when we come back, and so feel free to call back.
All right.
Thank you. Aloha. So anything, we're going to close down into this hour, but anything?
Just that, go and go to Alley Cats about that bill that will allow people to go on private property. And then the other bill, the 904, will allow them to use emergency funds so each county has the right to send employees onto private property with or without consent.
Mm-hmm.
That's House Bill 606 and House Bill 904. I just found out about that yesterday.
I
had known it was coming, but I mean, this is just, it's obscene. It's ridiculous. And Alley Cats does have a thing where you can petition, I believe, or you can just write to the different, mm-hmm. government entities, or call them or whatever.
We'll talk about it in the next hour. But one of the greatest fears is that, are you available right now? The police station is calling the alien species attack dog. Hey, we are interested in getting on that property to see if Chemo is growing that good marijuana on the backyard there without a license and what have you. You did you by chance see any cats? Oh yeah. Well, they go on the property, inviting the police because they need protection, right? They're executing their job and their duties, and they're there to look for cats that they're going to eradicate. So the police has a right to be there because he was invited, and the law says the person has a right to enter your property. And so, voila, the police department never gets a search warrant, never has a reason to be there. But because we were there looking for cats and we need to eradicate them, this was in plain view, so therefore it would be constituted as a legal search. So we'll be back in the next hour. This is a Carol Cox Show. My guest is Dr. Jill Vokes, and we're talking about cats and rats and bigger rats. Aloha.
Bigger rats.
KWAI Honolulu.
I am a thing I ever say.
that folks don't criticize me. But I'm going to do just as I want to, what people say. If I should take a notion to jump right into the ocean, ain't nobody's business if I do. If I go to church on Sunday, then cabaret all day Monday, ain't nobody's business if I do. If my man ain't got no money, and I say take all of mine, honey, ain't nobody's business if I do. If I give him my last nickel, and it leaves me in a pickle, ain't nobody's business if I do. I'd rather my man would hit me than for him to jump up and quit me. Ain't nobody's business if I do. I swear I won't call no papa if I'm beat up by my papa. Ain't nobody's business if I do. Ain't nobody's business. Nobody's business. Nobody's business if I do.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Hey, good morning again, and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. My guest here is Dr. Jill Vokes. We're talking about a number of things, but more than anything is the population of cats and the onslaught of this aggressive campaign initiated by the State Department of Land and Natural Resources and NOAA to kill untold number of cats, and because cats, in their opinion, or the way they present it, is that is the evil of all evils, and if we were to rid them, the environment of cats, and we've solved all of our environmental problems, with the exception of things like, I just made a list just to show you, and for me, I don't want to sound like an apologist or justifying what my stance on this is. That first of all, it's fake. It's nothing more than a simple effort to defraud the public and get more money where they can't account for it. Money is, for example, on the Community Fisheries Enforcement Unit on Maui, they had millions when they first started, just for three men working 10-mile area. And they're bankrupt and have no money for that, and now back at where they promised to do the funding, they being nonprofits. Now they've found their way in begging for money. Last year they were rejected. This year they're back and asking for more money. So that's one. How many spills do we have here in the state of Hawaii? If we're looking at cats and the impact on cats on the environment and human health and the economy, then how many spills does the state health department cover up until the EPA just recently kicked them in the pants and told them, look, you need to start posting signs? So imagine now. Imagine the Suzanne cases and the likes of her that are out there perpetrating this big aggressive lie about cats and all and how evil they are, yet she won't do anything. The Koalina, very famous Aulani Hotel, and all of those, the lagoons around them, that one lagoon was closed because of high enterococci levels. So they're having a, you know, there are signs now. Imagine that were posted and they took them down because the water cleared up. But where is the enforcement? Suzanne Case could, in fact, take actions against the Department of City and County of Honolulu for contaminating the water, putting contaminants in the water, human fecal matter and other contaminants. But when have you seen that? But if she's there protecting the environment, you would think she'd be right across the board. Everybody gets whacked, cats and the fat cats. But it doesn't work that way with the Suzanne Case theory or the David Ige theory. How about the big dairy that they're proposing to place on Kauai? Now, human fecal matter is a problem, they say, and cat fecal matter is a problem, they say, and yet they're going to allow a dairy to be set upslope, contaminating the water. What impacts does that water have on Monk's Hill, the native species? They won't bother to go by there, see, as they say on the streets. They won't go there. So there's a lot of things to be, you know, Suzanne Case, if you really wanted to protect animals and the environment and all, send your men out when they get a complaint. Like recently, we were told just last night that a citizen called. We had him on the show last week. He is yet to receive a call back or be visited or contacted to where he reported an illegal gill net. Leachate leaking from the city and county of Honolulu K transfer station into Ke'e Lagoon. We can't get any action on that. They're so busy they can't make it until 3 months, but they're allowing the city to continue and design a drainage system to create more havoc. So I question the integrity and the intentions and the simply say that it's fraudulent. If you want to protect the animals and the environment, speak out against all this damn development and all of that. And where were you when Abercrombie gave away Kawala Basin and all those areas? So I don't mean to be mean-spirited, but I mean to be mean-spirited. That's the way it is, folks, the spills. And to date, Suzanne Case refuses. If it's about protecting the environment, it should be straight across the board. Anything that's evil or, as she described, like the cats are a problem, then her employees using a drug helicopter to go and benefit themselves to collect hihi vai and other aquatic animals for their wedding, she won't respond. So I question the whole thing. So there seem to be, must be millions of dollars somewhere laying around that they got their eyes on, they being the nonprofits. And we need to strike a balance when species, we don't want the brown tree snake here. That's okay with me. But don't lie to us and manipulate and fabricate things to make it look good or better for you. And meantime, you're not going to, it'll be a drop in the bucket. So, Jill, you have any?
Yes, also that toxoplasmosis in the environment is not going to change at all by killing cats. And that the ocean toxoplasmosis, the majority of it is going to be from the development runoff, sewage spills, and that what we need to do is create a better way that people can have education fixing those cats rather than demonizing the people who are doing what's right and fixing them and dramatizing toxoplasmosis when it's actually rarely harmful. When it's so common, you know, in everywhere worldwide, some places 95% of the people in the entire population have had it, fought it off, and all warm-blooded animals, not just humans. It is something that that you get it, it sometimes don't even know you had it, and then you're immune to it. And, you know, it can be really bad, but it is something that that you're not going to get rid of by killing cats. It's, that's crazy.
I have a question in continuing to describe. You see, the Department of Land and Natural Resources, who's behind, there's a thrust behind this, or the tip of the spear, however you want to. How about if they really wanted to come clean and protect the environment, killing the cats? And I'm not offering this in defense of the cats, but give the listeners something to the big what if. And that is, what if the Department of Conservation went out and eradicated all of the turkeys that were introduced here, right? Because turkeys compete with native species. The nene, or may have an impact, may have a disease, and they crap on everything anyway. I mean, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Secondly, why not the Department of Land and Natural Resources, if this alien species, and we're going to use that term loosely now, alien species, why not eradicate all of the axis deer? The nonprofits had to sue the state to get rid of many of the sheep as it related to the palila. So if they're really interested, if this thing called the cat, you know, claws and paws, and they're going to make this greater effort here, why not eradicate the quail or the pheasant? You see, because you know why? Because they are a conservation department that has gone stupid over the years, and they're more, their whole purpose is enhancing. Now they're coming out of the dark ages, but to enhance hunting. But yet, if you're beneficial to the hunter, or you're a target for the hunter, or something, a game, then you're not going to have an outcry. You won't find any reports saying that they cause diseases or psittacosis or anything like that. You follow?
Right.
So I say, based on that and my knowledge of that, if they were really interested in and truly interested in, they would take a vacuum cleaner and clean all of that up, because they all have a alien species impact, if we want to refer to everything as an alien species, like we're saying the cats. You don't want to piss off all the hunters, but, you know, this is the quagmire that goes on, the bog. Caller, thank you for calling. Your comments or question?
Oh, yes. Hi. Thank you for your programming. It's very educational. You know, your guest, Dr. Jill, what was her last name?
Jill Vokes. Folks?
Could you spell it?
V as in Victor, O-E-K.
Wait, E.
No, V like victory.
Oh, V.
Victor. Yeah, victory. O like
O.
Hope.
E.
E. K.
A.
S. It's like S. Sam. S like Sam.
Wait,
I'm the cat bird.
S like in
S
butter?
Like Sam.
Oh,
X Sam. Like super duper.
Wait, excuse me. No, no. Isn't there going to be an event at the Bishop Museum on the 12th, Sunday, where everybody can educate them about feral cats, birds, and environmental things?
Have no idea.
Oh, you didn't? Oh, okay. Because I'm a grandma, so I'm doing volunteer.
Okay, well, what is it?
I beg your pardon?
What is it that they're holding? Tell us about it.
I'm sure it's on the 12th at Bishop Museum, about 9 to 3, I think.
Okay.
But it's some event where, you know, all kind of environmental birds and plants. And I'm not too informed as to the activity, but every year I do volunteer work, so.
Yeah. Is it related to cats or the subject we're talking about?
I'm sure, because, you know, a lot of endangered birds, you know, organization like Hawaii Wildlife Center from Big Island, they come
mm-hmm.
here
mm-hmm.
to educate the people and the children, the parents, you know, those that do want to educate themselves.
Right.
You know, and donate or whatever, so. It is very educational. It's like your programming. It's very rewarding for people to kind of pay attention and listen. But it's so difficult, because when you want to eradicate one item, you get another problem, and then, you know, human nature did, because I live right there by the a park, you know, the Heiau, Apaea. Mm-hmm. You know, get a lot of people feeding the feral cats, and, you know, when they stop feeding it, they come to the home, mm-hmm. you know, closer to the home. They become more like domestic, so they want food, yeah?
How did they get there?
What do you mean, how did they get there?
Yeah, that's one question I'm
yeah,
always
oh, yeah,
interested.
Probably, well, a lot of people catch them. They dump it in a park. I don't know. Get mm-hmm. kind of all kind of reasons. Mm-hmm. And they multiply and they travel from place to place.
Mm-hmm.
So, and oh, you know, we have so much chicken. I mean, you think how they reproduce. Oh, my gosh, it's terrible.
Yeah, well, you know. Thank you for your points. That's what I'm stressing.
Let's
look at the
people gotta
bigger
educate
picture.
Themselves because the disease things, you know, especially cats. We have a lot of people that love, they have domestic cats and they're roaming around and they, you know, they mingle with the stray cats and they can pick up the whatever disease or germs they have, and then you know how human nature now, they kiss their cats and even their dogs nowadays, so it's like family, and
why some of them, you know, that some of them even kiss their mother-in-law.
I know. Everybody can have some kind of germs,
you
right?
Know,
but
I got you. So
yeah. Anyway, thank
Bishop,
you for your program, and I enjoy.
Bishop Museum on what day again?
Yes, Sunday.
Sunday.
I can call again and get more information. I just was told. That's why.
Okay, no problem. But,
thank you.
Watch your purse now.
Dr. Jones.
Watch your purse. Don't get taken for a ride and find out there ain't nothing going to work. So.
Oh, no. I kind of, I've been going there so many years.
Oh, no, I don't mean to speak. I'm just saying in general.
Non-profit, but they mean well.
No.
Everybody believe in their.
You're not listening to me. I'm just saying in general. Give us some grants.
Give us
some grants.
Anyway, I'm for the England.
England? Okay.
Oh, good luck.
All right.
Okay, take care now. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. So I think I want to just say about her point about the hail and the cats and the way to solve that problem is by having a feeding station, and that really is the best way to create a feeding station where people know what cats are fed, and they don't feed the unfixed cats. And as far as the diseases, there's not really any diseases that the feral cats have that your tame cats don't have. They get the exact same diseases. They have the exact same chances of picking up those diseases if they go outside. But really, 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 I have to stress that having a well-managed feeding station where people know that that cats, only the fixed cats are getting fed, that has been so, so successful. And, you know, it doesn't happen overnight. But the Heiau, you know, if there's places where, you know, that they're worried about birds, then they're going to have to move that feeding station. They're going to have to make sure those cats are not where there's going to be, I don't know how many. Carol, are there a lot of endangered species over at the Heiau, or just chickens mostly out there?
Well, there are some amaki, and I've seen the
ilipayo. Are the cats endangering them, or are they up in the trees?
They're up in the trees, but cats and birds have always been arch enemies. The reality is, if a cat sees the opportunity and provides the opportunity, he will take a bird. That my concern is that we're going to engage in some warfare that's going to fund something, and then they're going to do nothing to solve anything. And it's a mindset, and all this entire process is filled and fraught with missteps, dishonesty, lies and the chickens. I mean, we were supposed to be managing the chickens and how much money we spend in contracts. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Yeah, you guys are talking about people feeding animals. I've seen something I never seen before over here. I've seen people throw their food right outside their house to feed the birds.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what comes along with that? Rats.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they're just throwing the food on the ground and drawing the rats to where they live. I'm wondering, are they drawing the rats on purpose because they're going to eat them, catch them and eat them? I'm trying to figure out what's going on. You ever seen that?
OMG.
Oh, yeah. We wouldn't want to take any food out of the mouth of anybody.
Yeah, I know.
But call the health department and ask for a vector control and see what you get.
You okay. Know. And one thing I would like to ask is this whole toxoplasmosis.
Mm-hmm.
I seen a show about that. And what they had, the guy, they thought he had AIDS, but it was toxoplasmosis. They diagnosed AIDS by toxoplasmosis, too.
Mm-hmm.
So
and
what I'm wondering,
And, Dr. Jill, you can get it from eating raw meat or touching raw meat, correct?
Yeah.
So, you know.
But not touching, well, you have to eat it.
Ingesting it, but I mean, you get it on your hands and ingest it.
I suppose.
It. Yeah.
So what's the medicine for that? Say if a person has it from another source and they don't know it, and they're walking around with toxoplasmosis in their brain, what's the medicine or what's a natural medicine that will kill toxoplasmosis?
Well, there's an antibiotic that kills it, but normally your body will fight it off unless you have AIDS. So you being a person without AIDS, I assume, will fight it off, and you'll never get it again. Anytime you're exposed for the rest of your life, you'll fight it off because you have
a healthy
immune
system. So there should be an antibody in my body or antigen saying that I have there should be antibodies there.
Yeah. You develop all warm-blooded animals, including humans, form antibodies, and it's usually a very mild flu-like disease. And there's a microscopic cyst that could be in your brain or your muscles somewhere. And it just stays there and doesn't do anything for the rest of your life unless you get eaten by a lion, and then it completes its cycle by the lion will, once in its life, get it by eating you and then doo doo it out in the environment, and then if the lion eats another human that has it, it won't get it again. It only gets that's why I was saying that if you fix the cats and you have a well-managed colony, you're not going to have any more toxoplasmosis being shed into the environment. And all that stuff about turning people into zombies, that's been debunked. That's craziness.
I want to ask another strange question, if I may. I heard something recently that a man's son caught measles, and he contracted viral encephalitis from his son's measles. And I was looking at how things can mutate. Then I was listening to you guys today, and I'm saying, what stuff might be going on that's mutating with us, and we don't even know it? Through animals, through rats, through mice, through bugs, through bed bugs, through anything. Because you're a veterinarian. I know I crossed over into insects, but that whole mutation thing from measles, viral encephalitis?
Right. Yeah, well, that's been going on for forever, and that's mm-hmm. something that, you know...
It put him in a coma for 10 days.
Wow.
So I'm wondering what else can cross-mutate, and what type of diagnostic systems, I mean, going to a doctor, quote-unquote, how do we get to the bottom of our being if it may involve so much, like diagnostics, right? What do we do?
Well, you just wait until it present itself and call the Department of Land and Natural Resources and tell them to bring their guns.
Okay. Have a healthy immune system.
Thanks for the show, Cal. Yeah,
thank
you. Thank you very much.
You mentioned the guys that are eaten by a lion. Did you know the last thing that was heard the guy was saying and the lions were saying?
What?
Father, the guy said, I hope these are Christian lions and, you know, and not eating.
Okay.
And sure enough, look over and the lions are sitting there going, Father, thank you for the food we're
God
about to receive. Anyway.
Okay.
So what? Caller, go ahead with your comments or question.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of this attitude towards cats stems from, I mean, I'm a cat lover. I have two cats myself, but I run into so many people out there that are, I hate cats. You know, they never had one. I hate cats. Oh, you know, if you see one run over, they laugh. You know, they're, you know, and I know really intelligent people with PhDs or whatever, you know, I hate cats. And, you know, then you get people shooting them with arrows and air guns. I think if this was a colony of dogs, I think people would have a lot more compassion, you know. I think it's just a traditional of hate of cats from people.
And it's fueled by this hatred is fueled find its foothold in government entities, government agencies, believe it or not. They're shunning their duties, not owning up to the responsibility, and then every once in a while flashing the plan, right? And that's what's going on. They've always come with a flash in the pan solution, and it's really not a solution. It's a dollar amount attached to it in the grant, and it's unfortunate. That's the story.
Well, I agree. I worked for a doctor that used to do used to advise the state on certain environmental and medical issues, and in this cat, just the feral cat population came up, and he was first saying was like, kill all the cats. That was his recommendation to the state.
And there is not an agency on this island can be tasked with that. It's impossible. So we need to wise up, and if there is a problem, deal with it, help the people that are doing it, come up with a better solution. But killing thousands and thousands of cats, let me tell you something, it's impossible. Because, you know, speaking of that, if I were to trap a cat and I didn't want to neuter, spay, or whatever, I have to still trap it and transport it to the Humane Society, correct?
Uh-huh.
Now, will they euthanize it?
If it's not adoptable.
Okay, but they ain't adopting that many cats.
They scan it, make sure that.
Okay,
you know,
let's say all that. But what do they do? Do they charge me for the euthanasia?
No.
But I have to spend the money to go down there. What a good citizen that would be, huh? You know, maybe that's what DLNR wants. Everybody to stop loving anything and just turn into a good citizen. The zombie you were talking about. Trap it, pick it up, take it down there and say, here you are, kill it, and I'll be back with more. Why don't they, you know, I'm not being funny about it, but that's the reality. Who's going to do that? What citizen is going to go down and pick up animals? And, yep, you can fall in love with animals or cats and all, right? They'll win you over, won't they?
They will. I mean, and I think, you know, if more people, has this been on the news? Because I don't watch TV.
Neither do I.
No, it's been on the news every once in a while. Well, there's more cats in the parking lot in Hawaii. Kai is filled with cats, but you don't hear ever report. A citizen was arrested for releasing a litter of kittens or dumping kittens, and a family moving. You know, you don't get that, right? You never hear that kind of stuff. The legislators are making a new law, making it a felony to abandon any animal into the wild. Right? You don't get that kind. That's too harsh.
Yeah, unfortunately. But I think, you know, it's just a prevailing attitude towards a certain species of animals from what I've seen. So.
Okay.
Anyway, well, that's kind of what I wanted to say.
Thank you, caller. All right.
Okay, bye.
No, that's true.
Hello.
Hello.
This is a little less tongue-in-cheek than it might sound like, but I hate animals, vegetables, and minerals. I am so tired of being an animal. I picked the cat up one time and put it on my lap, and it dug its claws right into my skin. I figured I was getting inoculated. Thank you, Mr. Cat, for putting your claws into my skin.
Mm-hmm.
This is a trauma-based world. Abraham Lincoln rolled around in the White House. Could his decisions were between bad and worse. He could hardly ever make a good one. I wish the world wasn't so traumatic. It's awful that we have to worry about cows and their feces and their poisons. It's horrible that diseases are spread. I really don't know if anybody can stand far back enough and present to us a philosophy to understand or live by, but the world just hurts, keeps us breaking, drives us crazy, keeps us busy, and me as an animal personally, I wish they'd stop the planet so I could get the heck off it. So that's what I'll add. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you. I'll let you respond.
On that note, maybe I'll just review that. I'll just say that that I want people to have some compassion, and that that it just totally makes sense to tell your friends, tell your people that tell you about, you know, that might have seen about this misleading facts that cats in fact, once they're fixed, protect the environment. That's the most important thing to remember, that once the cats are fixed, that's a realistic solution, and that is definitely part of the answer. And this bill that they're trying to pass to allow people, you know, the county's access to your private property, just go and find out about, you know, where you can speak out against that.
Yeah, call your state legislatures. And the bill that she's talking about is House Bill 606 and House Bill 904. I don't know if they have a companion bill in the Senate, but 606 and 904. I'll look at it some more and go see what we can do finding out information. But this is a simple solution, real simple. We gave up so much ground in the past that we really didn't care. You take, for example, the brown tree snake. Let me show you how it works. So you go down and you beg the legislators for $6 million. And then the state health department and the state agriculture department are talking about, we're putting all the onus, it seems, on cats and the decline of the bird population, right? But what about bulbuls? They're very aggressive. What about parrots? They're rather aggressive. And we still allow parrots to be imported. Correct?
Correct.
And then we look at all of the songbirds, the finches that we have, the variety of finches that we have now in the state. And they love seeds, and they can transfer seeds in their droppings and what have you, spreading seeds all around. That becomes a problem, creating competition for food and degrading the habitat for, quote, native birds. But one day you see open area, and you see maybe three or four plover that congregate there, and then voila, it's a construction site now and going to be a high-rise building. So that's a factor. Then you take, for example, the number of birds that are out there, the Brazilian cardinal, the egret, all of these birds consume food and compete with native birds. Are they saying that we're going to go out and go on properties and shoot birds?
Yeah, the danger of cats becomes insignificant when compared to all of the
when you
other
look at all
types of dangers.
And the approach, and the person called about Bishop, this whole process has just been going round and round in circles. And and every portion of that circle is a sensitive spot. There's a group of people that they don't want to talk about. They don't want to make trouble for. One of our biggest problems with alien species is a state agency here called the Department of Agriculture. You see, because the Department of Agriculture, believe it or not, their board, the commission board or whatever you call them, they're the ones that decide what animals can come into the state, what can't, what get a permit. We had the Majiro that was brought in for agricultural protection, and now he's eating more papaya than anybody. Right? So I just say that I'm not going to be completely opposed to, you got to keep, because in nature there's natural predators, and there are, and so there are some checks and balance in population. Here, we didn't have any mammals per se in land, so really no real development of predators. So the real predators are the ones sitting in state offices and federal offices that are sitting on their asses. They get these nice programs, like, for example, they're scientists and doctors, right? No disrespect to them. But there are certain things about the a-la-la. I mean, certain traits. It's a raven or whatever. This bird is social. Aren't you worried about mongoose and everything else attacking them? So why not introduce them in larger numbers, keep them contained, and put them in an area and eventually train them to that? Who's killing the mongoose?
Cars.
No, the cars, and that's it. I mean, if you're around, if you make a mistake and go out on to the sanctuary, there's a trap there. But DLNR does not trap. In fact, DLNR don't even bother. They can go buy a truckload of trash that's been dumped on the ocean edge, on the beach, and they won't do a damn thing about it. And it's their land. And so imagine that pile of trash serves as a invitation to rats and other vermin. You think their officers document and report that they found two truckloads of trash or 20 yards of trash that have been dumped there? No. Do you think they go out and look for batteries, 25, 30, 100 batteries that have been dumped on the beach and worried about the acid and the impact of the acid? No. Because Suzanne Case just ain't with it. None of them are. But they see that green money in there. Oh, what's that money sitting in the bowl there for? Oh, that's for state purposes and the fund biology and our workers and whatever. Okay, she gets her claws on it. Then to do that, well, how are you going to take this money? Well, we're going to kill cats. That's the story.
There's something else that I just remembered about that is horrifying me when I read about, you know, what they're pinning on the cats. They always bring up that Australia has a problem with their cats and their native species, and emulates Australia about, you know, that we should be doing something like they're doing in Australia. So I went and I looked what's going on in Australia, and it was completely horrifying. I went to this site called themessybeast.au, where they're talking about how they're putting poison, and the farm animals are getting poison, some of their native species are getting poison, and it's a slow, horrible neurotoxin that they're putting out in Australia, thinking that that's right, and the government's been doing that for a while, and it's really scary that they're talking that we should be like Australia, and they're using this horrible poison. They have this system where people can put an animal in a lockbox, a cat. It's a lockbox for cats, and their Department of Agriculture has their stations where, you know, during a weekend, they don't pick up the cat that sits out there in the box starving to death in the elements, and that's accepted there, that they have that as the answer to the solution to the problem in Australia. Oh, my God, they're talking about Australia being, you know, like something that we should be like Australia. You know, I just... It, and everything that I'm reading is blown out of proportion, and it's either related to issues that are the neutered animals, and they're misleading people to think that they're going to do something about the unneutered animals where they can do something about unneutered animals yesterday. But they're not. It's not about that. It's damaging to people who are actually, you know, part of the solution, which is the trap and neuter release management people. And we need more education. We need more feeding stations where people can look out for and not feed the unneutered cats. And that's going to, you know, be part of the solution. It's not going to solve everything. But then we won't have, you know, our own owls dying of rat poison, and we won't have rats going up and robbing nests and places, or craziness of starving animals that are going to jump fences. We'll have a feeding station where the animals are fixed.
Caller, thank you. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Yes, I'm going to be serious now. I heard that that pipeline dispute up there in North Dakota, mm-hmm. they were spraying aerosols weaponized that included things like rat poison. Clyde Lewis did a show on aerosol spraying of different bacterium. Saddam Hussein had some and was using them as a gift from George Bush. I'm not sure, was he CIA then or the other job? And then he turned them around and used them on America, and that became Gulf War Syndrome. I'm not sure exactly what all the terms is, but what I'm saying is it's a difficult world to be in because the skies are being weaponized. It's sickness behavior is what's being created at large. To what ends and why, I don't know.
Okay.
But Australia poisoning. Well, that's small kind.
All righty.
Thank you.
Thank you. Caller, go ahead with your comment or question. Hello? You there? Caller? You there?
It's me.
Oh, sorry.
No can hear.
Okay, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. The other day I went in Walmart. I went go shopping because I usually don't go shopping for a long time. And guess what? Dogs were sitting in the carts. The people had the dogs sitting in the carts where I got to put my food. And I wasn't too happy. Well, anyway, when I came out of Walmart, I was coming to the car. And from under the car came one fighting chicken hen. Coming after me. So I jumped in the car. Walmart Highlands. They are raising chickens. And the people are there throwing all the food, and the people and the chickens are eating the food, the little fighting chicken hens, not regular laying egg hens. Mm-hmm. These are the fighting chicken hens.
The jungle fowl.
If you catch my drift. These guys. I don't like saying nothing, because I don't like the ghouls come conking in the head like you, Mr. Cox.
Wait, now, it's all about the chickens.
Yeah, it's a beautiful day today. And the guy said he never saw anything with people throwing food when I walked to the bus stop. One get piles of food, all the birds over there. I walking down the street, one sushi in the middle of the street, the birds eating them, and this is in Pacific Palisades.
Mm-hmm.
How you like that?
Well,
that's something, isn't it?
Yeah, so.
You caught between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah, yep.
I like your show.
Thank
Gilda.
You.
Gilda, aloha. Condolences to your mother,
thank
your
you.
Family.
Aloha.
Leave your name.
Okay.
I will be sending something.
Mahalo.
Mahalo.
Hello. Right. Thank you.
Yep.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, that's your neighbor, actually, from Pacific Palisades, up there where you guys have a house.
Where I grew up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You grew up?
Palisades.
I never grew up.
Yeah, we grew up on the valley up there.
Yeah.
It was
no.
Fortunate.
This is, and I meet a lot of people. How can you support the cat feeders? Because I'm informed, and I am as annoyed by the fact that we have a electric power plant generating power to light homes and traffic lights, and the coal ash and the ash and the coal dust is flying into the ocean and into the water and onto the streets, and we're breathing it and impacting other business. And then the state has turned its head. What about the fish and the acidification and the contents of that on the ocean? Right? So.
Yeah, there's so much of a bigger picture.
Yeah. And why not site another H power plant to burn trash and send it up in the air and the smoke and the soot contaminating along the coast and in the water? But you won't get a Suzanne Case to be bold enough to speak about that, you see, because we want to protect the environment, and protect the environment, the culprits are the cats, so they say. I think the
they've
problem...
They've been framed.
Yeah, they've been framed. Yeah, and I think going back to the owls, for example, you talked about, when I first arrived here, there was a so-called study. Now, they use warfarin in the cane fields and for rat poison or some equivalent. And they'd find owls, and you know this, they'd find many, many owls along the side of the road just sitting there bleeding at the nasal areas and bleeding at the mouth just because, I guess, that's the impact of rat poison when you ingest it.
Right.
So they did the study. Why did they need to do a study?
Right. Yeah, studies is that the studies usually make things appear exactly how
you want them to.
Researcher had planned it to appear many, many times.
And so, you know, it's like go and ask for that result of that finding, of that study, and I guarantee you won't find it. Because you didn't want to come out and say outright that the rat causing that was being put out there in the cane fields were actually impacting the rat, killing the rats, but in the interim, when they were squirming around there, weak and sick, ingesting the poison, the owl sees and go, oh, what a great dinner. Boom. Pounce on it and it eats it. Now that owl has secondary poison. And we saw a large number of owls. And I don't know to what degree the native whale, but these were the barn owl and introduced species. Not a native species. But they spent money in trying to figure out what the impact was on a non-native species. A rat poison that they had already allowed, or whatever the poisoning is, that to kill the rats in the cane fields.
Well, kills them just as dead if they're a native species.
Yeah.
You know,
but the point
splitting
is...
Splitting hairs when...
not splitting hairs. What the point is that they will do studies to cover their tracks. But then when you ask for the results, you know, well, what about this? The public was complaining. What about this? Oh, we're studying it. Well, then, can we see the results of it?
We're doing something.
And we're doing something, but in the end, the public goes away, gets no answers, no nothing. That's the point I'm trying to stress. So I don't trust anything that comes out of the Department of Agriculture, the Department of Land and Natural Resources, or the health department. Three separate entities responsible for protecting one environment. No integrity. They're put in political people, the cases and what have you, that come along because of the name. She's not, you know, she ran a nonprofit, but so what? The government issues are bigger and better and far reaching. How can she solve it by alienating and demonizing people that feed cats or trap neuter cats and release them? You know, that's the problem. At Key Lagoon, transfers at the boat launch area, they work in a ban of prohibition on, have a prohibition against feeding there. Now, they just built a new building on that property. Now, we also know that the land underneath there is contaminated with the diesel, the jet fuel that leaked out of the tanks and is under the ground there, right there, almost touching the groundwater in some instances. What does Suzanne Case do that? How is that going to impact the fish in the marine environment, that basal layer? Is she raising hell? And then in closing, how many fish does toxoplasmosis kill in a day?
It doesn't. They're only warm-blooded animals.
How many fish does Mattson kill in 1 hour?
Yeah, it's probably too much to count.
Yeah. And then they gave us a bunch of bull malarkey on that count because they had a private entity counting, recovering the fish, and the biologists and the people, managers in the Department of Health and Gary Gill and others walking around with penny loafers dare not get their feet wet. And then decided it was a certain number. How would you ever be able to quantify it when you didn't scour the whole area and gather that information? And you didn't even collect it as evidence, per se, in total, you see, to constitute a take and build evidence. So I say the whole thing about cats is, again, I reiterate, in my belief, based on what I know and what I've seen, it's a bogus attempt to justify send more money, getting millions in contracts. Never going to have a drop in the bucket. It's not even going to have a rippling effect to any degree in addressing the real problem that's out there. We need people to work with the government. The government need to work with the people. Quit demonizing them because they're going to stop feeding cats. They're not going to stop neutering cats until there's a law. And then you're going to see many of them going to go to jail because they're going to continue. It's a humane concern that they have. And people mistaken that. That's my observation. They actually care about the humane treatment of these animals. That's the motivation. It's nothing to do with, I want to have a collection of colorful cats. So, and again, reiterating, the people that are out there are not crazy. Because I haven't been deemed crazy, and I go out there, and I'm concerned, and wherever I can participate in trapping and neuter and getting them back is fine with me. That's better than standing up bitching about it and then waiting for a grant to come in so I can hire my cousins and nieces and nephews and friends. You know, that's been the way of the world. So, anything closing?
Oh, just thanks again for having such a great show every Sunday. We love you.
All righty. Well, guys, thank you. I hope you enjoyed it. And wait, we'll call it real quick. Come in a question. Don't want to miss out.
We're going to have a controlled feeding area. That's a good idea. So we take the sick cats and we let the people in the apartments who cannot raise cats go inside there. And who can raise the chicken go inside there. We're going to get chickens then.
Okay.
They're raising their cats and their chickens. They don't need to worry about the house.
Yeah.
They're going to listen to the rules from the landlord.
Yeah.
They're raising cats. So I'm going to put them over there and I'm going to feed them every day. That's my cat.
Oh, man. Okay.
Oh, man. Aloha.
Nice.
Aloha. Thank you. Well, anyway, Dr. Jill, thank you for joining me, and I hope some of you are, just for the talk about it, is worth it. So thank you again for joining me.
Thanks again for having me.
This is the Carol Cox Show. You can pick us up online, kwai.com, am.com, or carolcox.com.
Just like some shining in your life. Oh,
Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.